So, we couldn't fill pulpit supply for today, so your guys are stuck with me. I've been up here numerous times, either with prayers of the people, Sunday school announcements, that type of thing, but not really in this capacity, so you'll forgive me if I'm a little out of practice. I was down there a couple of weeks ago speaking to some of you that were here on a Thursday night, and I remembered having my kids baptized here, right at that font. Many of us have had our kids baptized here, we've had funerals here, we've had all kinds of things. I'm sitting here with my hands on the pulpit. Think about how many people have stood here with their hands here. Last week when Teosi was preaching for us, he stumbled coming up the stairs a little bit. How many people have done that? Or how many people have just walked up these stairs? Or in the case of the kids, run up the stairs? Those are a few examples that give us a look of what has happened here at this place. Can you imagine a time lapse over the last 30 years of the comings and goings of all people just in this small area of our church building? It shows that we're connected. We're connected in many ways. The paths we've crossed, the things we have mutually touched, the things we have heard here. But most important connection is that we are here because of our love for Jesus Christ. So it's that line of thought that I picked out a sermon to read today. And it's going to be a sermon from our former pastor, Tom Baumhoff. And I know it's a little fresh to say former, but that's where we're at. And Pastor Tom actually did this for Pulpit Supply at Exeter CRC. So before I open up scripture, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Lord, our heavenly and gracious Father, help us to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So our scripture reading for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 27. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, through one, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the Spirit, given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. The word of our Lord. Dear friends of God, maybe you've talked to someone who told you, "I'm spiritual, but not religious." In our increasingly secular culture, a large percentage of people describe themselves this way. People don't like participating in churches anymore. Yet they crave a spiritual connection to something bigger than themselves. So they say things like, "I don't attend religious services. I can be spiritual all by myself. I feel connected to the divine through beauty or nature, but do not worship with any community." I have sympathy for people who live this worldview. It shows that we are all created to long for God, and I see this longing in them. I like the desire for a personal connection with God. Our faith is not an external thing, but a heart thing. And sometimes this is a reaction to a painful experience with the church, and this is their attempt to stay connected to God. Yet there is a large part of me that agrees with American pastor Lillian Daniel, who says in her typical feisty way, "Here's what I want to tell them. Thank you for sharing, spiritual but not religious person. You are comfortably in the norm for a self-centered North American culture, right smack in the bland majority of people who find ancient religions dull, but find themselves uniquely fascinating." All too often, spiritual but not religious can become what Jesuit priest James Martin calls self-centered complacency, divorced from the wisdom of a community. It leaves the person with a God created in their own image who tells them to do what they are already doing and who says yes to everything they hope to do. Christians live by another way. We have a different spiritual practice. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." When you became a Christian, you became the living part of the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is moving you, no matter who you are, to be part of that body, fully engaged as an equal part of Christ. Each one of us has been given a gift from the Holy Spirit to use for the common good of the body. Being part of the body of Christ means participating in the spiritual discipline of fellowship. Fellowship is the practice of engaging with other disciples in the common activities of worship, study, prayer, celebration, and service, which sustain our life and enlarge our capacity to experience more of God. In the years before that nasty word, COVID, we started to see less engagement. We started seeing people slowly drop away. Not just from our church, but churches all around. But COVID accelerated that degradation of the spiritual discipline of fellowship. For the past number of years, practicing this has been difficult. The COVID pandemic became, as one of our elders described it, a community killer. We had to physically distance ourselves from each other. We had our little bubbles of people. We had to wear masks. We couldn't attend large gatherings. We had tensions within church about how far we should comply with the restrictions and whether we should even get vaccinated. And when things settled down after vaccinations were delivered and we learned how to better live with COVID, we thought that people would flock back to the church. Hooray, it's over. Let's get back to fellowship with one another again. Yet people are reluctant to come back together. Volunteerism is down across the board, and not just in churches. You look at all the community organizations are struggling. People are slow to gather again, even though it's been 5 years since the start of COVID. Perhaps they're using this as a way to exit church completely. Or maybe they don't want to return to some patterns of busyness that weren't life-giving. It's a complex situation. I don't know that anybody has the answers. Today I want to remind you that the fellowship is a spiritual discipline. A spiritual discipline calls for continual practice. Nobody just drifts into a discipline, and we so easily fall out of it. As a discipline, it involves a decision, practice, habit, and sometimes sheer determination. Especially when we see some of our respected friends falling into the spiritual but not religious worldview. And when the church isn't always an easy place to be, the discipline of part of fellowship is all the more important. Fellowship is an important way to train ourselves for godliness, as the Bible coaches us to do. I want to encourage you to keep at it. I love the picture of fellowship that our passage gives us. The church is the gathering of Christ followers who each have been given something by the Holy Spirit, and they bring their gift with them for the good of the rest of the church. Everyone has something to contribute. The gifts of the Spirit are not meant for selfish advantage, as some in the Corinthian church were guilty of doing, but for the building of the body of Christ. We bring with us gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretations. The same Spirit distributes those gifts among us so that we all benefit. There is something really encouraging about this picture of fellowship. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You are part of this fellowship because God wants you to be here. You matter. You might wonder if you matter, yet our passage says God has placed all these parts in the body. You have something from the Holy Spirit, and it's meant to be present in this congregation of Christ followers. You need to own that with confidence. Believe it. It is the task of the congregation to receive it with thanks from God. Our passage alerts us to the pinching points of fellowship. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Paul was writing to a church that had some serious divisions in it. These divisions threatened the fellowship of the church. The divisions pitted people against each other, rich against poor, Jew against Greek, free against the slave, the followers of one leader against the followers of another leader. We have to confess that we sometimes say or are tempted to say, I don't need you. We tend to make those same errors as the Corinthians, who had inner circles and factions that were somewhat hostile to each other. When you say, I don't need you, You are building barriers among people who rightly belong to the body. The sheer variety of the church is sometimes a barrier to fellowship. Again, I'm inspired by what Lillian Daniel has to say about this. Any idiot can find God alone in the sunset. It takes a certain maturity to find God in the person sitting next to you who not only voted for the wrong political party, but has a baby who is crying while you're trying to listen to the sermon. Community is where the religious rubber meets the road. People challenge us, ask hard questions, disagree. They also need things from us. And they require our forgiveness. It is where we get to practice all the things that we preach. I think a lot of those who can't tolerate organized religion are really just frustrated by other people. They think, if they could just kick out all these flawed human beings out of church, we could really get down to this Jesus thing. Better to do my spiritual life solo, where I don't have to be disturbed by these amateurs. But that's arrogant. Churches are just groups of people. Schools for sinners, not a club of saints. We must acknowledge that we need each other. Fellowship can be messy. It can be awkward and challenging. Sometimes we feel like the guy on the couch to the right, cringing. I don't see it very well up there. We are these people. It sometimes requires a lot of grace, yet it challenges us to grow. You don't need to get to choose who is in the pew with you, and that's good, even a great thing. Today we create communities. We have Facebook friends and social networks that we control, to a certain extent. You can add friends if you wish. You can delete them if you wish. You are in control of the important people to whom you relate. We don't belong to communities, we create communities. So often they just become echo chambers of the things we choose to think about. Someone recently defriended me, but that person can do what they want. They can create their own social network, their own community. The spiritual discipline of fellowship reminds us that we are not self-created. We did not create this community. God created this community and calls us to it. In your average church, there's so much variety. There are people in church who you wouldn't invite into your social network, and they wouldn't invite you into theirs. You have nothing in common except being in the same pews and a member of the same church. There are drivers of Mercedes and drivers of Chevys. There are cradle Christians. There are recent converts. There are introverts, extroverts. Lovers of Tay's chants and lovers of Hillsong's. People who voted Green and people who voted Conservative. HSR acceptors and HSR critics. People who wear shorts and people who wear suits. Refugees and longtime residents. There are people who, when you speak to them, you may wonder if you even share the same planet. But what a gift that is. People you did not choose, nor would you have chosen, are in church together with you. And God has placed you and them there. Each of you has something to contribute, and can be confident that you belong here because of that. Together, you will decide how you will pay for the new furnace or how you will organize the kid camps this summer. You'll have to bite your tongue when you notice an outlandish tattoo that someone might have, or perhaps a rather paternalistic attitude that someone reveals. You'll have to show grace to the person who is weak. You have to speak truth to those whose behavior crosses the line. As David Mills puts it, That's one of the great things about the church, and especially the local branch. It's a community you didn't choose. You can't control it. It forces your horizons wider. You have to learn to love these people, or at least act lovingly, when you don't want to. The church's life teaches you charity in a way you couldn't learn from your social network. The spiritual discipline of fellowship begins when you come to recognize that you need each other. We need each other. You come to the place where you say, I need these people in my life. I don't always like them. I don't always agree with them. I wouldn't hang out with some of them. Some of them have some rough edges. But God has put me here for a reason. For what reason has God placed you in this fellowship of the church? Have you ever wondered about that? Why this church? Why these people? I believe it's connected to the mission of the church. Fellowship isn't just about being relational with the messy group of people who assemble as the church. Fellowship is about being relational with the messy group of people who are in God's mission to this world. Fellowship helps us be the body of Christ on a mission. David Matthes compares the fellowship of the church to Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. Tolkien called his nine travelers the Fellowship of the Ring. It wasn't a chummy hobnob with appies and drinks and a game on the tube. It was an all-in, life-or-death, collective mission to destroy the One Ring in the face of great evil and overwhelming opposition. These people in the fellowship, some of them didn't like each other, but they came together. The world is at stake, and they've got to get the ring to Mount Doom. This is what's involved in a fellowship. In the church, true fellowship is less like friends gathered to watch the Super Bowl or the Stanley Cup playoffs or to have a wine night, and more like people having each other's back. Help each other live as the body of Christ wherever they are. Calling a fallen world back into relationship with God through Christ. The church is a group of people unified under Christ who represent and reflect him to the world. The fellowship with the first Christians shared wasn't so that they could learn church jargon or learn to be more judgmental. Their fellowship was their common love of Christ and their common life or death mission together in his summons to take the faith worldwide in the face of impending persecution. We need each other, especially in a culture that seems to be changing right in front of us. The spiritual discipline of fellowship calls us to gather together not only for worship, but for the church potluck, and the congregational meeting, and the small groups. We have something that the Holy Spirit has given us that we can contribute to the church. Sometimes it's simply your presence that brings something out. Someone notices. Someone gets their needs filled just by you being there. The times people have spoken into my life in a meaningful way has been those ordinary times of just being together as the church. The stories of faith that are precious to me are the ones that are told in a relaxed atmosphere of fellowship. The times that challenge me to grow are the times when somebody makes me mad and I have to either say I'm sorry or give forgiveness in another way. Keep meeting with other Christians. Keep engaging with each other in your faith life, your worship and prayer life, and strengthening one another in Christ. You are the body of Christ in this world, and each of you is part of it. Shall we pray? Lord, we have heard your word today. Help us put it into practice. We know that you want us to worship you together, be in fellowship with each other, and have the discipline to carry out your instructions. Please help us, guide us to do this in your name. Amen.